Okay, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Okay, 27. Pasuk Chav Zayin. V'Chanukah Sachemas Yerushalayim. Now we begin a new section, new chapter. Not a new chapter in the Prokhor works, but an entirely new idea, where they are about to sanctify the new city of Yerushalayim. We learned a few Prokhor back. They built the wall. That was a very big inyan, where Nehemiah organized, he recruited groups of people. Every group, every different family, every group of family was given the task to build a certain section of the wall. And it was done very quickly in 52 days. The entire wall was put up. And it appears that even if the wall was put up, it took more time to put on the finishing touches of the wall. They just put up the wall to a certain minimum height. And then we learned that the doors were not initially installed. They had to put up the doors. And later they expanded, they increased the height of the wall where there was a full sense of security for the walls. But the walls, now that the city is complete, the walls are complete, they have to sanctify the inside of the walls with the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Why does Yerushalayim need Kedusha? Special sanctification, because you're only allowed to eat Maaser Sheni inside the walls of Yerushalayim. If you have produce and it grows anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, you can't eat it wherever you want. Maaser Sheni must be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten there. If you have a carbon, Kodshei Kalim, the only place where it can be inside the walls of the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash, and you also can eat it inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So until the city of Yerushalayim was given sanctity, the only place where you can eat your Maaser Sheni is inside the Beis HaMikdash. Now the only place where you can eat Kodshei Kalim is in the Beis HaMikdash. The only place where you can eat the Karban Pesach is in the Azar of the Har HaBayis of the Beis HaMikdash. In order to allow everyone to eat the Karban Pesach and Kodshei Kalim and to bring Maaser Sheni inside the entire city of Yerushalayim, it had to be sanctified with special Kedusha of Yerushalayim. The obvious question is, why did they need to be sanctified? Was not the city sanctified from the time of the Bayis Rishon, David HaMelech? David HaMelech sanctified Yerushalayim, L'shichna Sidrishu, Uvasa Shama. This is the place, this is where the Kedusha is. And we don't know exactly, we don't have any record of David giving Yerushalayim sanctity like we're going to see over here, but it's assumed that whatever they did now, they did back in the time of David HaMelech as well. So why was it necessary for them to sanctify Yerushalayim again? So this is the Gemara of the Gemara Masechta Shavuos, the other places. Kedusha, we discussed this. Kedusha, Rishon Kedusha L'Shaita, Veloy Kedusha L'Asilava. When David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech sanctified Yerushalayim, it was conditional that the Beis HaMikdash exist. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 410 years after it was built, the sanctity disappeared. It dissipated. No longer was it Kodesh. It was mundane. Even the Beis HaMikdash, according to today, there's a very big hot debate if you can go on Temple Mount, take off your shoes and walk in that area. But it appears that it's more of an issue today than it was time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. At the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, the entire area, more so than today, the Kedusha disappeared. The Kedusha was bottled, had no sanctity. Now Ezra and Nehemiah are coming to re-sanctify all of these areas with the whole procedure, with this elaborate procedure that we're going to see, we're going to learn now. But this is something very important. The Kedusha that they gave you, Yerushalayim, is greater than the original Kedusha, and that Kedusha, Shnei Kedusha L'Shaita, V'Kedusha L'Asalavo, it never departed. Even after the Bayis was destroyed 420 years later by the Romans, by Titus, it doesn't make a difference. The Kedusha, the sanctity, remains. Now let's see what. So here we. So this is what they're doing now. Pasuk Chav Zayin, V'Chanukah Sachemas Yerushalayim. At the
originally,
I don't know the answer. Why did they?
Now the whole thing has changed. That now there is Kedusha.
Why was the original Kedusha conditional and the second Kedusha was permanent? I don't know the answer. I don't know, maybe it means because it was a more intensified Kedusha. They felt that if the Beis HaMikdash was not present, we did not deserve to have it. The second Kedusha could be it's a lower level of Kedusha, and for Galus, for all generations, we need it. We need it no matter what, no matter where we're holding. The Bayis Rishon, there was Nevuah, there was prophecy. They felt that if we're not going to maintain this high standard of holiness, we're not deserving. They probably knew in advance that the Nevi'im would come to an end, that this intense sanctity that Hashem gave the world would not last, and just like the people would not be on a high level of Kedusha, the Mokom, the place also, to correspond to the level of sanctity also would depart. The Bayis Sheni, the Kedusha of the Bayis Sheni was minor relative to the sanctity of the Bayis Rishon. The prophets came to an end, no more. So it was a lower level of Kedusha. It was really a foundation for us to get through Golos, to take us through 2,000 years until we'll come to the Bayis Shlishi. So it was L'chatchila put in place where they knew in advance the Bayis Sheni would not last forever. They were hoping maybe it would turn into the Bayis Shlishi, but it was not meant to be. It was a means to give us something to hold on to keep us close to Hashem until the coming of Mashiach. So Pasuk of Zayin, V'chanukas Chemes Yushlaim, at the inauguration of the wall of Yushlaim, Big Shua Es HaLeviyim Mikol Mikoyim Oysam, first thing they wanted was they needed musicians. They needed singers. They needed people to properly to teach the people to sing, and they were the leaders. The Levim were leaders in song and music and inspiring the masses, the Hamoinam, to give Shevach V'Hoidah to Hashem for what He has done. So they sought Bikshu Es HaLevim, Mikol Mekoyim Oysam, other places, Lahaviyam, to bring them Liyushalayim, La'asoyis Chanukah, to make a ceremony, an inauguration, the simcha, with joy, rejoice, uvis soidois. Now soidois can simply mean thanksgiving. We will see that the word soidois also can refer to part of the procedure, part of the sanctification required that they bring a carbon toida. A carbon, but let's right now just translate it with soidois, with thanksgiving, uvis sheer song, Mitzil Tayim, Nivalim, Uvichinoiros. Three different types of musical instruments. We translate it simply as cymbals. Nivalim are flutes, wind instruments, and Uvichinoiros are string instruments, harps. It's not really clear. We could talk about this forever and ever. It's not really clear if that's really correct. If a kinar, we think it's a harp. We have all the picture, all a lyre. We have all these artwork, murals that show David HaMelech on a harp. Not so simple that a kinar is what we call today a modern day harp. It's not so simple. Okay, but in any event, it's a kinar, it's assumed to be a string instrument, the volume of a wind instrument, so it's a flute, is it really a flute, maybe something a little more sophisticated, we don't know. And the mitziltayim, cymbals, like drums, some type of thing where you bang two utensils, one against the other, and it produces a sound, what? Percussion instruments. So this is what it's assumed to be. Okay, so they need a Levim, and they went and they were recruited. Notice Nehemiah's whole life is struggling to recruit people. He's a headhunter. Literally. That's what Nehemiah's role is. He's the headhunter. He's searching for Kohanim, for Levim. He's searching people to come up with him from Chukum Golos. Once he comes to Eretz Yisrael, there's no one living in Yerushalayim. He's going to the outskirts, to the villages, those are Chatzerim. That's his profession. He was a headhunter, always looking for the right man to fill the right job. So they listened. They gathered all of the singers. Min Hakikar, the plain. These are different areas in the Eretz Yisrael. Not familiar with the geography of the time. But Min Hakikar from the plain, it was an open land. Sevivos Yerushalayim, Umin Chatzrei Netoifasi, the courtyards of this region called Netoifasi. Anyone know about this? About this region? It's a certain region on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. There was an area of land, a section, a neighborhood. Nataf?
It's an old term. Yeah, Nataf. You have, it means an overlook.
Today we have a certain village, there's a certain neighborhood today.
And a there's
a term, Nataf.
Which means, okay, but that's a general term, but here it is a specific location. Where is it? Where is it today on the map? I do not know. I don't know if it is morphed into something else today, but whatever it was a place, the Chatzrei Netoifasi. I'm sure some of the maps, probably the Atlas Das Mikra, they probably have some. No, you looked there? The Alistas Negra, I have to go look there. They probably have some type of reference. We had it before. We had a few, so we had last parak. Okay, Nitaifasi was the courtyards of the Nitaifasi where people were living and they were recruited to come to Yerushalayim next. Pasuk Chavtes.
Why not play on the
show? Maybe they were youngsters. Maybe the Mishraim were the old, were the older generation. This is a new generation. New style of song and dance. Every generation has its own technique. Pasuk Chavtes. They were more hip. Pasuk Chavtes in their music. Whatever it was. A different, I don't know. The people that were involved in preparing the song. Okay, Pasuk Chavtes. Ami Beis HaGilgal. Where else were they recruited? They were recruited from the Beis HaGilgal. Mistos Geva. Geva is the name of a place, the fields of Geva. That's the name of Binyamin resided. The Azmoves. Name of a place. Name a place. There was, it must have been a very extremist lived there. As means strong as death, powerful. Until that would be Admoves, but here it's Az. Az is bold. Azmoves. Okay, it's the name of a place. The people living there. Ki Chatzedim. Now the passage just incidentally tells us how come they were living all over the place, because Ki Chatzedim Banu Lohem Hamishoyrim Svivos Yerushalayim. Because the singers, they set up their own villages. I guess it was too crowded in Yerushalayim, whatever the situation was, that during this period of time of Nehemiah, during the time of the second, all this taking place during the time of the second Kohen Gadol, Yoyakim, as we learned yesterday, Yeshua, and then came Yoyakim, that they built for themselves villages on the outskirts of Yerushalayim by all of these names, the fields of Geva and Azmoves, and these other courtyards, the Chadshu and Nitaifasi, yeah?
Just for the
exclusive neighborhood. They click. They were clickish.
No, because the neighbors couldn't stand this. They're practicing all night.
They were practicing the music, the noise. Okay, maybe, perhaps. They had their own territory, and they built for themselves their own little cities. Pasuk Lamed. Vayitaru ha-koyahanim v'halavim. The koyahanim and the levim purified themselves. Vayitaharu es-om. See, we have over here two words, same letters, but the only difference between is the dot in the tests. Vayitaru, also the trop. The trop here in Vayitaharu. Yeah. No, it's really the same thing. The pashta. Right. I didn't notice that. Right. Vayyu the chiruk. Right. Vayitaharu. It's a chiruk mole. That means the doggish in the test, and that means it's reflexive. They purify themselves.
Like
the second one is lashon
piel. Others. Vayyi shva. Not vayi themselves. And the male, it's a shva, vay, so the tes is the beginning of the syllable, so then it's going to be a without a soft, rougher, without a dot in the beginning. So when the yud and the tes are connected, that at times, a chiruk mole makes it strong, emphasized. So it's a dot, dogish. Vayitaharu, the first they purify themselves. You work on yourselves first. Keshoit atzmecha, the achar kach keshoit acherin. This is a very important principle. Before you give mussar to a person, you better make sure you're holding the ultimate mussar is by example. That's the ultimate mussar. You don't have to say very much. If a person adheres to Noe Doresh, Noe Mekayim. If you want to tell people about marriage, you better make sure that you're married. You can't preach. You can't preach to someone about something that you do not know about. On the other hand, I was saying, there was a certain gadol that did not have children. And he used to give a lot of shmuzim on chinuch habanim. And someone had the chutzpah to say to him, what do you know about chinuch habanim? You don't have children. This is a very important big gadolim. He was married. He didn't have children. So he said, you're right. I don't have children. But I watched my parents raise me. So I'm speaking from experience. It doesn't count.
Okay.
Hashem, Adam, you have to have children. It's a rachman.
Even if you're an old man who had children, but it's been a long time since you brought up the children, you're also possible.
You're also possible. You can't be too old.
Right.
You can't be too old. That's a very.
You don't remember what it was like anymore.
Right. But that's a very big problem with this generation. Someone noted to me that in this generation, to be a gadol, you have to be 100 years old. If you go back not so long ago, the gadolim, you know, they were gadolim when they were in their 40s. They were gadolim. If Aaron Kala had a name as Mamash, the Gadol Hadar, when he was in his 30s, it's a whole different world. Today, unless you're at least eight in your 80s, you have no standing. You have no standing. That's the way it is. We saw recently a video of Moshe Feinstein and Yaakov Kamenetsky. So in the video, they must have been, I don't know, they must have been in their 70s. So today already, that's like, you know, you can't be a gadol until at least your 80s. It just struck me watching this video how agile they were. They were running back and forth. They were going to the car, getting out of the car. They were moving. They were moving so quickly. Today, you know, today all the gadolim books, oh, gadol, you know, he's like, can't even move. Can't even move. Like, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The gadoli hadol, exactly like what you said. If you're too old, you're out of it. You're retired. You don't relate to the people. You gotta be in it to win it. So here, Vayitaru Hakoyhanim Vahalevim, Vayitaru Es Om, the Musa Haskel is Kishoit Atzmecha, beautify yourself. The Acharkach Kishoit Achedim, it's explicit here in the Pasuk, they first purified themselves, the Koyanim Vahalevim, and then when they were pure, Vayitaharu Esa'am, they purify the people, V'esha'asharam, and the gates, V'esha'chaymah, which simply means they clean them. They had a cleaning crew, window washers, to come with the ladders and to make sure the walls are clean and pure, and in preparation should not be any nevelos, birds, would have a tendency to drop, in ancient times, on the wall, pieces of flesh from dead animals. The animals, these very large vultures, whatever, these creatures would drop. So they made sure there was no nevelos or any non-kosher tumah that was dropped on the walls. So when they proceeded, made the ceremony, the walls should be 100% clean, physically clean, and tahar from any nevela utrefa that may be lying on the wall. It could be something deeper which we're not aware of, that they sprinkled water. I don't know. They did some type of hocus pocus that we're not aware of over here. We don't know. But simply, it's not 100% clear what it means in the pasuk. Exactly. So what does it mean? So simply, it means simply, they wash the walls, window washers. You see today those the power wash.
Pressure hoses.
They just cleaned it. It should look nice for the ceremony, for the cameras, for the pictures. We want to have a nice picture in the flappish Jewish ceremony. You know, it's a nice clean wall. Nothing more than that. Or, if you want to go a little bit deeper, they made sure there was no pieces of dead flesh that birds had the tendency to deposit it in the crevices of the wall. Or, maybe there's something deeper which we're not aware of. Okay, so now we're going next. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. The female Pasuk, we'll go back and read the Mitzvot Nerashi. Va'ale esore Yehuda mi'al ha'chayma. Now, what he did was, a lot of things going on over here, I brought up, after the Levim were recruited, and after the Kohanim and the Levim purified themselves for this event, everyone had to go to Mikvah. Everyone had the paraduma water sprinkled upon them, and the walls were clean. We're ready to start. What are we going to do? I brought up the leaders of Yehuda me'al ha'chayma on top of the wall. There are three ways to translate the word me'al. Some learn literally, they walk. This procession that we're about to learn about was done on the surface of the wall. Now the wall is not that exactly that wide. How wide could the wall already have been? How wide was it? 2-3 feet? Maybe it was more, maybe it was 5-6 feet, maybe it was 10 feet wide. I don't know how wide was the ancient walls. Today the coast of Hamaravi, how wide is the coast of Hamaravi? I don't think it's more than 3 feet wide, right? What?
Thick,
that's what I mean. Thick, how wide is it? How thick is it? Okay, whatever it was thick, it was enough for a person to stand on. A person can already stand on even 1 foot, you could 1 foot thick, you can stand. You have to be careful, balance yourself. If you're afraid of heights, I don't think this is a good idea for you to be part of this procession. But they actually walked along the thickness of the wall. This is one approach given in the Mefarshim. Others don't know what it says. Me'al, it means near. Now means the Olav Mate Yehuda. Olav Chumash doesn't mean Olav means on. Olav literally means upon, but it's interpreted to mean near. Near this Shevet was this Shevet, the Olav. So here as well, it means to the side. Now which side? On the inside or the outside of the wall? So this is subject to debate. Some learn Me'al means near inside. The procession took place along the inner perimeter of the wall. Others of Me'al means that they walked along the outside. They're coming to sanctify Yerushalayim. They're sanctifying what's inside the city. So they walk along the outside of the wall, and everything that's inside will become sacred. Others, no, you don't have to go walk outside. You can walk inside along the edge of the wall. That's also sufficient. Or someone, you actually walked upon the top of the wall. There is a discussion in the Gemara if the wall itself is sacred. Let's say you dig out a cavity, or let's say you're under the Pesach. Person has in his possession Maaser Sheni, which only can be in Yerushalayim, and let's assume the wall is very thick, and you come into the gate, and you want to eat, the gate is closed, so you want to eat under the thickness of the gate. You're under the thickness of the wall. Can you eat Maaser Sheni in the thickness of the wall? That'll be a nafkamina. If you learn that the procession took place inside, then the thickness of the wall does not have sanctity, and you cannot eat karbanos and Maaser Sheni in that section. If you learn that the thickness, the procession took place on top of the wall itself or the outside of the wall, then the wall itself is sacred, and you can do what you want. Another nafkamina is, can you lean against the wall? This is discussed. Let's say it's a hot summer day, you're a tourist, and the bus stops outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and you want to sit down and lean against the wall, just relax until you're ready to go. You want to lean, you want to sit down and lean against the wall. Does the wall have sanctity with regard to the issue of using the wall for your own personal benefit? You want to write something, make out a check to the tour guide. So you want to put your checkbook along the wall and write, are you allowed to use the wall for mundane activities? So if the wall has Kedusha, no. If the wall does not have Kedusha, yes. Where exactly how did they sanctify Yerushalayim? This will be enough to mean if the wall itself has sanctity.
By the way, there is an annual event,
yes,
in Yerushalayim where people get together and they walk
around the walls.
Ramparts.
What's the purpose of this event?
To reinforce the idea that it's ours.
Who sponsors this event?
I don't know.
It's on Rosh they do that.
Orthodox?
Yeah.
They
do it on Shavuos.
It's a big walk to walk around the whole Yerushalayim. It's a big today. First of all, the wall of Yerushalayim today is not the wall that we're dealing with over here. That's clear. Right. This wall has been long destroyed. And according to the Mefarshim, it appears it was a very short, it was a very small wall. Yerushalayim was a teeny little city relative to the way it's been rebuilt, talking about hundreds of years ago by the Crusaders and by the Turks. And the British. What?
It's like a minute, like God told.
Walk along with, okay.
Rabbi Alman, a member of this black convert was shot, he was killed, and they buried him, they took him to the.
We're over here?
They brought him to the Caribbean to be buried in his hometown.
Oh, yeah.
And Rabbi Alman went with him, and he said they had to sanctify the land where he was being buried because it wasn't a coast. There's a way to do it.
Right.
And he said he never saw the coast, of course.
Mayor Koch was also buried.
Yeah,
so they built a wall around.
Yeah, everyone knows the cemetery, but 100 years ago they did this, but nobody knew. He'd never seen it before. And he says they walked around the area to some kind of ceremony to make a sacrifice. So I'm saying maybe by walking around, you sanctify it.
I don't know. It seems that this is a very unique type of sanctification for the Beis Hamikdash, for the Korban Torah. I never heard of this. Some interesting idea.
Rabbi Amos said he never heard of it either. It was a way to
The people there, the people were in the Caribbean, they were doing, they did this?
Yeah, there was a group.
There was a rabbi, religious group?
The Glacier Cemetery in the section had to be
the
sanctified.
Plot. And he said there's a procedure, there's some company.
Never heard of this. Okay.
Never heard of it either. Yeah.
I'm in good company.
Someone said rent it up somewhere, and they did it.
Okay. Could be.
But he said he walked around.
Obviously. Okay, it must come from this. Okay. Interesting. Okay, but this is an important point where it says this little innocent little word, may Allah chayma. It's an innocent two innocent words, and has major ramifications. Do they walk on top of the wall, inside the wall, outside the wall?
Tzudah says Allah
Mamish, may Allah mal Allah Mamish, on the wall itself. According to the Mitzudas, according to Rashi, we'll see Rashi a little later on, it doesn't necessarily mean it means along the Rashi doesn't say. It means along the side. According to most of Farshim, it means along the side of the wall. And again, the Nafkamina is, does the wall of Yerushalayim have sanctity? It's not okay today, because the wall they built today, there was never the wall they built today is not sacred. It's much greatly expanded from what it used to be. So we don't even really know exactly where Yerushalayim goes and the real limits of the Kedusha, the Seno Gehalach Lemaisa. There are things that are not, but as far as Kutchim are concerned, of Achilas Maisa Sheni and Achilas Kutchim Kalm, it's Seno Gehalach Lemaisa anyway. And we don't have a wall today, we don't have the ancient wall, so we don't really know. It's not a Gelach Lemaisa today, this issue, but this was an issue at the time. Okay, let's go.
If they walk inside, then the wall may not be.
Exactly. If they walk inside, the sanctity only goes seemingly until where they walk.
Right.
If they're walking on the outside of the wall, the wall itself gets Kedusha.
Right.
If they walk on top, then the wall itself also gets Kedusha, but maybe only the inside, the thickness of the wall, but not necessarily the actual perimeter, the actual surface.
Yeah.
Just inside, if your person is thinking of the awning, oh, you could eat your kachim. But if are you allowed to lean against the wall? Yeah, because only the inside, the thickness, but not the actual outer crisp, the outer crust of the wall does not get Kedusha. So there are many different afghanis, but it's an important point to keep in mind. It all comes from how you want to translate these two innocent words, me'al lachoyma. And the today it's not a ge'al lach lemaisa, because today we don't have these walls that have been long destroyed. All these walls don't exist. And the walls that have been rebuilt further out. It's much larger. And they have not the best, and they have not. They certainly have not been sanctified, because there's no base chamidush to sanctify them. There's no carbon toide. You don't have this procedure to sanctify them, and therefore the sanctity of Yerushalayim ends where it originally was established. And we really do not know with precision where that makom is. It doesn't make a difference because we're not eating kachim anyway b'zman hazeh. We're not eating ma'is sheni b'zman hazeh. And when it comes to dinim derabanan, then Chazal say it does not depend on where the wall is. Depends on what is considered to be the neighborhood of Yerushalayim, like quick mikra Megillah, the expanded city. These halachas that are derabanan are not related to the actual sanctity of the wall itself. It's more related to an extension of the city Yerushalayim. Now let's go from the pasuk. So va'amida and va'amida. These are very important words. Va'amida, I stationed, I established. Shtei soidois gedolos, two large soidois. Now soidois here means one of two things. Either means processions, columns of individuals that were giving praise, were singing songs of praise as they marched. That's one interpretation. So does hoida, and it says shtei. A lot of we learned yesterday, learned all the time, that you have to add a lot of words into the simple translation of the words. It means here two columns of groups of people marching, and as they marched, they were singing songs of praise, accompanied by music and musicians and so on and so forth. Gedolos, that were very large and significant. Okay, now that's one interpretation. I'll give you the other interpretation in a few moments. I'll just finish the pasuk. Visahaluchos, they marched. An unusual form of the word of a hoilech. The word visahaluchos is like halicha, halacha. They marched. They walked. They marched. La yamin. Now this means you have to add words. You have to add a couple of words. One of the two. There were two different groups. One group march is a one, la yamin me'al lachayma, to the right of the me'al either means on the wall itself or the side of the wall, like we mentioned before. L'shar ha'ashpos, to the gate of the ashpa. It was a gate known to them along the wall. If in fact all these, we have a lot of long list of different gates and different sections of the wall. All of these you can have before you go back. You go back to Paragimel, and Paragimel, we learned in Nehemiah, went and he recruited all the people to build a wall, and he assigned every family, every group of people to build a certain section. It says exactly these exact locations: the Shah Ashba, the Shah Hamayim, the Shah Tzayin, the Shah this, the Shah that. Every single thing that we're going to learn over here was already mentioned in Paragimel, except for one. There is one new thing that's mentioned that's not mentioned there, and the Farshim want to say, even though it's not the same word, it really refers to, it really is mentioned as well there. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Okay, now let me just describe this procession a little outside in more detail, and then we'll come back and say what Mishara told us. Try to picture yourself. This would be an overview towards the rest of this parak. Try to picture yourself today by the Coastal Plaza. Everyone here has gone to the Coastal, right? I'm sure everyone has gone to the Coastal. Everyone has been by the Coastal. And the Coastal pretty much is the west side of the Beis Hamishna. Coastal HaMaravi, when you go to the Coastal, somewhere on the other side of the Coastal is the back of the Kodesh HaKodoshim. When you come into the Beis Hamikdash, the real place, if there was a Beis Hamikdash, was Man Hazeh, you would come in from the east. The proper place to come is from the east. And when you come in from the east, you come into the Har Habayis, you come into the Ezras Noshim, the courtyard, big courtyard, and in the courtyard there are four big rooms in the four corners. There's a balcony on top, and there were other things in there. A lot of activity took place in the Ezras Noshim. Then you go up 15 steps to what's called Shar Nikinar, the gate of Nikinar, and that takes you into the Azara. In the Azara is all the activity. Probably the most noticeable thing in the Azara is the massive Mizbeach. Massively large Mizbeach. Go further, go in front of the Mizbeach, you come to this big building called the Heichal. In the Heichal is the Kodesh. The front of the Kodesh, you have the Menorah, you have the Mizbeach Azov, and you have the Shulchan. Keep on going. You'll come to the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Oh, no one goes in the Kodesh. The Aron goes. If you, then the building is over, right? Then if you were able to go further, if you'd keep on going further, where would you come? You'd come to the end of the Azara. Go a little bit further. You go outside the Azara. What do you, go further. You come to the end of the Har Habayis, another wall. And the Har Habayis wall is
the
Kosel HaMaravi. That's where everyone is davening today. That's where
the
Har Habayis.
Right.
It's the not of the Azara, not of the Heichal, not of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There are three walls.
Right.
There's the outer wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then the outer wall of the Azara, then you go further, it's a whole section of land, the outer wall of the Har Habayis. So the Kodesh HaMaravi that we dive into today is the backside of the Har Habayis. If we would keep on going further in, we would come to the wall of the Azara. Keep on going in, there are only 11 amos, the wall of the Azara to the wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we're in the back. Now, if you keep on going, so if you're in the Coastal Plaza, you go to the Coastal, and go all the way to the back, go where the police station, know where the police station is, all the way in the back, and face front. It's a long walk. It's a pretty long walk. It takes, I don't know, 3 minutes to walk. How long does it take to walk from the police station? How long does it take to walk from the police station? How many feet? Must be a good, probably even, who knows, how many feet do you think, estimate, from the back, all the way to the Coastal HaMaravi? 1,000 feet?
At least.
More?
No.
What?
I don't think
it's not that much? Size of the football field?
More than me.
Yeah. How big is it all the way from the very, very back, all the way to the very, to the Coastal HaMaravi? A football field?
Think of it as a block. It's more than a block.
A block?
Is it?
300 feet.
City block? City block.
It's only 300 feet? That's it?
An avenue block.
900 feet, right. An avenue block. It's close to an avenue block,
yeah.
Right? It's about close to an avenue block. From furthest back, it's not likely that Yerushalayim, the wall of Yerushalayim was much larger than that. Today, the wall of Yerushalayim, I don't know the geography, how it's the architecture, but the wall of Yerushalayim, the modern day wall of Yerushalayim, is a whole neighborhood. You got to go out further back. But the ancient wall of Yerushalayim probably wasn't that much further than if you'd go today to the Coastal Plaza and go to the most extreme part where you can go backwards. That is where, exactly pretty much where, they're all standing right now. Ezra, Nehemiah, the Kohanim, the Levim, the Yisraelim, everyone pretty much is standing where, try to picture this, the Coastal Plaza, all the way back. Maybe further back, maybe two avenue blocks. Okay, we don't know exactly where the wall of Yerushalayim was at this point in time. All the way back. They're all sitting there and they're all looking mamish at the Har HaBayis. They're looking at exactly the same thing that we look at when we go to the Coastal Plaza and we stand in the back and we look and we take pictures and we see online all the ceremonies, exactly where they were standing. They have the same exact view. Maybe they were lower down because the earth has been raised very much, very high, but that's what they're looking. Now, we're going to see now, the Pesukim are going to explain, there are going to be two groups. There's going to be the group of Ezra, and there's going to be the group of Nehemiah. Ezra is going to stand, get facing, on the right. He's going to have with him half of the leaders, whoever the leaders were. We have a list of the leaders, a whole group of leaders, a group of Levim, and a group of Yisraelim, and he's going to make a sharp right. And he's also going to have with him someone, Kohanim, carrying the breads of the Karban Toida, which we're going to explain in detail in a few moments. Carrying two Kamsantlam, five, maybe all ten. That's a discussion what exactly means two Toidas. There are many ways to translate this pasuk. It's extremely vague. But he's carrying breads of the Karban Toida, Ezra, a group of seven leaders, Levim, Kohanim, Yisraelim, and they're going to make a sharp right. And they're going to go, because they're in this thing, the very, very back by the wall of Yerushalayim, and they're going to go walk right, and they're going to trace, they're going to go on the wall, either inside the wall, outside the wall, and go all the way to the right, until they come to the end of the wall on the right. Then they're going to make a right, they're going to go counterclockwise. Counterclockwise. They're going to go left. And they come in and go left. And they're going to go up along the south. If I'm facing east, then this side, the right, is the south. So you go along the south. I'm going to go south along the south side, east, going forward. I'm in the west. I am standing, when you go to the Coastal Merava, you're standing in the extreme west. You're looking east. I'm looking east. The right is south. I'm going to go along the wall, all the way along eastward, come all the way around to the front. That's like Har HaZeisim. Right, if you go all the way down there, you're coming really to where Har HaZeisim is, where all the Kvarim are, on the other side. Go all the way to the wall of Yerushalayim, come east, turn, and then come in. Come all the way into the gate, into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Ezras Noshim, into the Azar. Nehemiah, with the other half, the other group of leaders and Levim and Kohanim and Yisraelim, is going to go to the left. He's going to walk around the north. He's going to sanctify the north side of Yerushalayim. He's going to go to the left, and then he's going to turn along the northern wall and go east all the way until he gets to the very, very front, and then walk around, meet in the middle, and come into the city. Come into the Har HaBayis, come into the Azara, first into the Ezras Noshim and the Azara, and in the Azara they'll have another ceremony. They'll eat the bread. So they're going to the one bread they're going to burn, and one bread they're going to eat, and that's going to conclude this ceremony. So you have to remember, it's easy to picture. It's a very, very fascinating thing. You learn this is how Yerushalayim was sanctified. It was sanctified with two groups, the Ezra group and the Nehemiah group. Ezra was the spiritual leader. Nehemiah, to a large degree, we made that contrast and we compared them one to another, was more of the political leader. the spiritual leader is sanctifying the south part of the city, and the political leader, Ezra, the Pecha, Nehemiah, the Pecha, the governor, is sanctifying the northern part of the city.
Was this done by Nebuah?
Yes, this was done by Nebuah. This Hirash Shatz, there's no Mukar, we don't have any Mukar of this in the Torah. Yeah. This is something which was Hirash Shatz, there were Nevi'im that were living at that point in time, including Ezra, and including Zechariah. And this was a tradition. We assume that David HaMelech did the same thing. We have to make that assumption. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us this was not the only time this was done. Because the Gemara says that let's say that this certainly happened during the 420 years of the Bayi Sheni, it was the Beis Hamikdash, they decided to expand the city. Right now there were walls. It was a very small city. It certainly happened during the 420 years, there was construction, Hordas, even before Hordas, and they expanded the walls of the city. So instead of the city of Yerushalayim, only let's say the southern wall being two city blocks back from the Har HaBayis, they wanted to make it three city blocks back from the Har HaBayis. So how were they then able to sanctify that additional section? Same thing. They did the procedure all over again. They stood all the way in the back, and they had two columns, and one group went right, one went left, and they walked all the way around, and they sanctified that section. That section that has been added to the Beis Hamikdash. So all you have to do, you go to the Kosel, you learn Nehemiah, to picture, because where is the Beis? It's not known with precision where is, on Temple Mount, where is the Beis Hamikdash. One thing was certain, we know the shape, we know that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is closest to where you stand, and on the other side, the east, is the Heichal and the Ezras Noshim and the east of the Har HaBayis. But where do you put it? Some want to put the Har HaBayis on the mosque, on the
Al-Aqsa.
They put it on the Alaska, on the Dome of the Rock. That's one approach. That's how they'll tell you when you go on the tunnel tours. They'll tell you this is, and many people, even a lot of secular researchers reject that. I've come already in the most cutting edge researchers. That's not that with sonar and the ultra high tech images from taken above. They've come to realize that the Dome of the Rock it's unlikely. That is the place of the Mikdash. That was probably used as a fortress in ancient times, and it's much more likely that the actual Makom HaMikdash, based upon modern research, is closer to where we daven. Not necessarily mamish in front of us, but pretty close to where we are, that open temple, the coastal plaza. So it's exactly where, it's amazing, when you're standing there all the way in the back on a nice sunny day in the coastal plaza, all the way in the back, and you're looking forward, that's exactly what it looked like to Ezra and Nehemiah when they sanctified the city of Yerushalayim. Ezra took a right, Nehemiah took a left, and they walked all the way around, all the way to Har HaZeisim, pretty much, because that's where the wall of Yerushalayim came, and then they marched in. They marched into the Beis HaMikdash. Well, that's the question. They walk on top of the wall itself, or do they walk right along the inside of the wall, or do they walk along the outside of the wall? When they got to the end, they came down, or they came in, or they already were inside. They just maneuvered themselves to come in, to walk into the Beis HaMikdash.
It seemed more likely that they walk outside, but
we don't know. It's not clear. It's me'al. Mitsuda says on the wall itself. Okay, now let's discuss one more thing.
Wasn't the Kosel built by Hordas? It's what we look at now.
What we look at, the Kosel was built, no. The Kosel Hamar that we look at now, no, it's not built by Hordas. The Kosel Hamar that we look at now was built much later. There are different layers of stones. The tradition is that the foundation of the Kosel HaMaravi, which is very, very deep down, only of the Kosel HaMaravi, was built by David and Shlomo. The other three walls were completely destroyed. Those are modern walls, even the foundation. The Kosel HaMaravi, not by our level. Our level, we're very, very high up. But if you were to dig down, by the coastal plaza, all the way down. They know exactly that I have a book.
They found the southern corner.
The lowest level. They know exactly. It's not known with certainty, but those stones, tradition have it, was laid by David and Shlomo during their time. All the way back from the Bayis Rishon, they were never moved. The other three walls, no, they were completely destroyed, completely removed, and those stones have been put there at different points in time. And even the stones that we see when we come to coastal today, these are much more modern. These are modern stones from, I don't know the exact dates, but it's not going back. And the walls of Yerushalayim, forget about. They don't exist nowhere, nothing, totally gone. Everything that's today is relatively speaking from modern times. Now, one more last thing. Now, the Todah. Okay, I'll just touch upon this, and maybe we're out of time. We'll do the. But just what exactly were the procedures of the two Todahs? It says here, Shtei Soidois Gedolois. A carbon Todah has 40 breads. 40 breads. What are the 40 breads? There are three types of matzah. There's Revucha and Chalois and Rikikin. Three different types, not whole wheat, sorry. It's three different types of matzah. The matzah is mingled with oil. Okay, it's not our type of matzah, which is just bread and water. It's matzah ashira, matzah that has oil. And the way the oil is added to the bread is done in different, there are different techniques. Either in a deep pan, where the oil bubbles and the dough actually is deep fried, or it's a flat. Machavas, it's just a flat where the oil runs off, so the amount of oil that's absorbed by the flour is minimal. Three different types of matzah: chalois, rikikin, and revuchin. And then there are 10 breads, chametz. Then we let the dough rise and it turns into chametz. So there's a grand total of 40 loaves of bread. Now the breads of chametz are, each bread of chametz is three times the size of a matzah. In other words, the Gemara makes a calculation, says based upon the psukim, is that the grand total of flour that was used for all 40 breads of the carbon todah was 20 isaron. And isaron, which would mean a double eifah. Now isaron in modern terms, as Schwab says, is about 5 pounds of flour. That's quite a bit. 5 pounds of flour can make quite a lot of. So that, now that means as follows: there was a total of 20, but 10 were allocated for all of the matzos, and 10 of the again, there are 12, 20, 10 all the matzos, and 10 is for the chametz, which means there are 10 breads of chametz. Each loaf of bread of chametz is equal to one isaron. It's massive. So you have a challah, and the challah, the flour that produced this challah, it's 5 pounds. So you know how massive that is? When you go to a wedding, have these massively large size, it's massive. I don't know exactly how big it is, but it has to be, because even a small amount of flour can produce a very significant size expanse. But there were 10 loaves of chametz. Each loaf of chametz was the size. Each one was nisaron. Matzah, you only had 10 isaron to produce 30 breads of matzah, which means each loaf of matzah is a third of an isaron. Each matzah was a third of an isaron, because we only have 10 isarons for 30 breads. And each chametz was one complete isaron. So that means each chametz was three times the size of a matzah. There are 30 matzahs, 10 chametz loaves. Each chametz is three times the size of one matzah. That is why it's called here Shtei Soidois Gedolois. We're calling it Gedolois. Now there are 10 breads. So there are many ways to translate these words. So the simplest way to translate the word is there are a total of 10 breads. From the 10 breads, we're only selecting two. The other eight, keep in the Beis HaMikdash. Don't bring out. You're in the Beis HaMikdash. You bring a carbon. A carbon todah is in any, you bring a shor, a goat or a seh, you bring an animal. And you bring the animal as a carbon toida, and all the halachas, m'sech the zachim, is a mekayman. You learn the halachas, how you bring a carbon to carbon, shlamin. Only difference is that you have a limited in the zman of achila, you eat it for one day and the following night. So they sacrifice the animal. With the animal, the owner has to bring 40 loaves of bread. What do you do with the 40 loaves of bread? You invite your family, your friends, you have a very large meal, everyone is invited to partake, so you have a tikkun in shul after the evening, you put out the 40 loaves of bread, take one home to your family, as long as you live in Yerushalayim, someone can take one home and eat the loaf of bread with Kedusha. Okay, there are 40 breads. 38 breads are going to stay in the Beis HaMikdash. They're not going nowhere. The Kohanim eat it, give it away, anyone who wants can take it. Two of the 38 breads, which two? Not the matzah, two of the chametz breads were given to two of the Kohanim who led the procession. Now that has to mean there were a total of four. So there were a total of two separate, there was one Ezra's procession and Nehemiah's procession. Ezra's procession had two breads, one carbon todah, and Nehemiah had his carbon todah. There were two separate carbonos offered, a total of 80 breads. Ezra took for himself. His procession had two of the 10 chametz breads, and Nehemiah's procession took from that toida two of the chametz breads, and these two breads were used. They marched with these breads around the wall of the basin. So let's see that pasuk, and we'll stop, and we'll have a fill up, go in more detail tomorrow. Some more ideas. So then the whole pasuk Lam Aleph reads, "Va'ale es sarei Yehuda mi'alachema." I brought up. I had them come forward and stand on the wall. V'amida shtei soidois gidolois. If not for the word gidolois, we would not know which breads. Maybe you can use the matzah breads. The fact that it says the gidolois indicates that we did the chametz, because each chametz bread was three times the size of a matzah bread. Two means, what about the other eight? The other eight, stay home. Stay in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't need you. So here we're beginning to describe the first procession, because we're going to learn about the second procession later in the parak. So first is going to start, and we're going to learn later on that Ezra was leading this. Ezra was a Kohen, he was leading, and I guess in front of Ezra, or maybe it's not clear, Ezra was in front, or the breads were in front. And Ezra, when he stood at what we call the coastal plaza, he made a right. He made a right, and he walked along the wall, along the west wall, walking to the right. He then came to the end, he made a left, walked down to the east, came forward to the center, and came into the Beis HaMikdash. And in the process of doing so, Ezra and his procession, with the two breads of Toda, sanctified the southern part of Yerushalayim, the south. Layamin, me'al l'chayma, along the wall. And where was the first stop, the first section, the first significant point on the map was L'Shahar Ha'ashbois. Okay, so we'll stop here tomorrow. We'll review the Midrash and the Mitzudos and discuss a few more ideas relating to this issue.